The perils of predicting interest rates on New Year's Eve.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A year ago, the benchmark for American interest rates, the 10-year Treasury yield, was at 3% even. Now it's down at about 2.17%. Who would have thought that on New Year's Eve 2013? The S&P 500 was in the 1840s back then. Now it's at around 2080, a rise of 240 points, give or take, in early trading on this last day of the year. More than 14% rise for the year. Let us say Happy New Year to Mark Vintner, Managing Director and Senior Economist at Wells Fargo Securities.
Happy New Year.
So here we sit, Mark, on the cusp of a new year, and you'd think there's nowhere to go but up for interest rates with the U.S. economy improving here. Yet a year ago, right, Mark, we would have said the same thing, and interest rates did not do that.
We're going into the new year much the same way we did into 2014. Expectations are pretty squarely on a rise in interest rates because the economy is clearly improving. But the U.S. is an outlier. The rest of the world seems to be pretty much dead in the water. So there's a greater chance that rates are going to increase than come down further.
And you and I were just talking before we went on, and of course you brought up the price of oil. I mean, it's down another 2% using the Texas benchmark even this morning, around $53 a barrel.
Right now, the expectations are that prices will find a bottom in the spring and move back up over the summer, but I'm not so sure of that. The drop in prices is largely due to the surge in U.S. production and weakness in overseas demand, and I don't see either factor reversing in 2015.
Well, consumers will help. We'll have more money in our pockets because of the low gas prices.
It won't help immediately, even though prices have come down very quickly. And I filled up the other day for $2.09 and kicked myself because then further down the road it was $1.99. But it slowly accrues over time. And so the benefits from lower gasoline prices will probably kick in late spring and throughout the summer when folks tend to drive more.
Mark Vintner at Wells Fargo Securities, who apparently shops for gas in North Carolina, right, Mark?
Well, that was in Virginia. Here in North Carolina, it's a little pricier. I was driving back home over the holidays, but it's certainly good to see. Prices are coming down pretty much across the country.
Mark, thank you.
You bet.
Since we're not supposed to drive and the culture urges people to drink, those car services you summon with a smartphone app are expected to have their big night tonight. Lyft and Uber and others use algorithms that raise prices when demand goes up. Yet when that happens, annoyed passengers complain to the world using Twitter, which can be bad for business in the longer run. Marketplace's Noel King reports on this tension.
Uber's surge pricing policy is economics 101. If demand is low, then prices are stable. When demand is high, like on New Year's Eve, prices go up. Sometimes way up. Matthew Feeney is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. He says nobody's being tricked here.
Uber allows you to estimate the fare before ride begins. Uber tells customers when the surge is in effect. So there really isn't an excuse for not knowing that the price is going to increase.
But even if there's no trickery and the economics make sense, surge pricing is still confusing to many people, says Paul Argenti. He's a professor of corporate communications at Dartmouth's Tuck School.
What does that mean to your normal American? You say there may be surge pricing. I mean, it's not a term that you hear when you go to Walmart. Oh, we're going to have a surge pricing today.
The debate over surge pricing probably won't be solved by tonight. But in the meantime, new kid on the block, Flywheel, is offering some New Year's night rides for a flat fee of only $10. I'm Noel King from Marketplace.
Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. You've heard Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. In honor of our little milestone, we set a goal of reaching at least 2,500 donations by December 31st, and we are so close. So please help us meet our goal so that we can continue to provide relevant and compelling coverage for many years to come. And your tax-deductible gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate today, and thank you for your support. And now, what should we call it? Corporate anthropology, a chronicle of a rite of passage. 4 years in the works, Southwest Airlines has now fully engulfed what was once AirTran Airways, formerly ValueJet. Jim Burris, a reporter with WABE in Atlanta, was there for AirTran's very last flight.
Cheers erupted as AirTran's Boeing 717 took off Sunday night from Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, bound for Tampa. Flight 1 was long sold out. More than 800 hopeful travelers added their names to the standby list. Southwest Bob Jordan has been running Air Trans operations for the past few years. Over a scratchy PA system, he thanked Air Trans employees.
This is awesome. It's a fantastic way to commemorate this last flight, and a fantastic way to commemorate moving forward together as one awesome company.
The journey traced ValueJet's 1993 inaugural flight. After a deadly crash in the Florida Everglades in 1998, ValueJet struggled to survive. It eventually reemerged as AirTran. Trish Kreider worked as a flight attendant under both names. She says AirTran's final moment is a proud one.
The fact that we fought from ValueJet all the way through to where we are, to be a company that Southwest wanted to own, is just the most amazing, amazing experience.
By airline standards, Southwest's merger with AirTran was smooth. For one thing, there were no layoffs. AirTran flight attendant Tana Thomas says the airline's family-like corporate cultures were a lot alike, and that helped.
I see their scrappiness as being almost one and the same. It's like they're on full throttle.
Southwest now has access to key markets like Washington National and Atlanta. The merger also opened up international routes for the first time. And although it's been a long merger, it's proving to be a profitable one. Air Transport World just named Southwest its airline of the year, and its stock was the year's best performer on the S&P 500. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And patent number 8922530, granted yesterday, goes to Apple of Cupertino for a new pen-like thing you draw or write on any surface to trace on a separate screen. Artists now use a stylus on a special pad to draw on screen, and there's also a special pen with special paper that does this. Apple's innovation is an input device that works on anything. You could trace a person's nose, you know, if you and the nose were so inclined. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.